We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Are we really at the point where the Barbecue Hall of Fame, we should just be calling it the Kansas City Barbecue Hall of Fame, and
pretty
if
much.
We don't get in, then we have a reason to care, but as long as we get in, we're good. I think that's where we are here.
It certainly seems that way because, I mean, everybody mentioned it. We mentioned it yesterday when the news broke. Our newsroom was all over it, and a lot of the local TVs just kind of made mention of it, but yeah, it wasn't a giant celebration of, okay, finally, long overdue, but yeah, way to go, Barbecue Hall of Fame. Thanks for tipping us a little cap there. But yeah, maybe it's just that we felt like it should have been, it was so deserved so long ago.
Although I will say, I think I'm more excited about this than I am the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that seems to get a lot of attention around here. I think I'm more, I'm on the website now to go back and look and see who is and who is not in there. I couldn't even find a good local story about it. I really think this is just something we take for granted now. But so every year, they put three individuals into the Barbecue Hall of Fame, along with multiple legacy inductees. The induction ceremony is set for September 18th during the World Series of Barbecue out at the Speedway. I assume that's still happening this year. We haven't heard anything about that. So this year's legacy inductees include Arthur Bryant, as we know very well, and Ollie Gates of Gates Barbecue, and some guy out of North Carolina, because who cares?
Some guy, just some guy, dude, whatever. Out of North Carolina. Well, and those are, regardless of who you think is the best overall in Kansas City, I mean, those are obviously the two names that that put it on the map anyway. And what I know is that everybody has the one that they think is the better one. I've only ever had one of them, so I'm the last person.
Because you get to town and then 4 months later, we shut the city down for a while. So
I
think you're excused from most knowledge about restaurants. Now, if in a year from now we're having the same conversation, then I'm going to get judgy about it.
Right. But, you know, somebody like Jason Ketz, our very own, has a very solid opinion on this subject. And Jamie, I don't think I've ever heard yours.
We'll go to Ketz first and then I'll explain why I don't really have one.
Okay. So between the two, which most people will say those are the two main ones here. I go to the one where you have to yell your order and not just get into an assembly line. So I'll just leave it at that.
I don't.
Do you know what he's talking about?
No.
Gates is the
Help
one that
out.
I'm talking about.
Okay.
John.
All right.
They yell, but it's in a charming, here's what we're known for kind of way. I don't want to imitate it because I don't think I do a good job imitating it. But they say, may I help you? But they say it in a, it has a nice ring to it.
And they point at you and everything. Probably the weirdest experience I had during the pandemic, I did go into Gates once. And for some reason, every time I go there, it is embedded in my head to yell back my order. I did that, and about the 7 to 8 people that were in there at the time looked at me very funny because clearly I didn't have to yell it, but it was just out of habit.
Yeah, they're all sitting there at their tables going, thanks for letting us know.
Well, they
appreciate
couldn't
it.
Nobody could. It was takeout only. But still, yeah, I yelled it. And like, I, even after I said it, I kind of looked around and I was like, sorry, it's habit. And they're like, you're not the only one who's done that.
Yes.
Good to know.
Yes.
But yeah, I have been to a Gates. I don't know if I've been to the Gates, but I've been to a Gates where it was fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant, but I have nothing to compare it to. So why is it that you have no opinion?
Don't take me off the air.
Okay.
Don't disconnect me. Don't cut my mic and text line. I don't, leave me alone. How can I say this and not have people like throwing things at my window? barbecue's not my generally my first choice in general
okay.
for food. And so, I know. I know. It's I know. And text line's going to say, well, that's how we know you're not from here. No, it's I'm not a big, I don't eat a lot of meat kind of in general. And so it's just not anything I really crave ever. And so if I do, I'm probably going for like pork ribs or something like that, which is not burnt ends. And if you don't love burnt ends, they take away your I get to live in Kansas City card.
Oh, and I do.
So
I love them.
I know. Yeah, it's so I don't I like a lot of places. There are a lot. I've been to Gates. I've done all the big ones. I mean, I've been here 15 years. I've probably hit them all at some point. So I still go, but if I'm going out for barbecue, it probably was not my idea.
Yeah, well, and see, I'm kind of the flip of that because I absolutely love barbecue. My holdup is not only, I mean, during the pandemic, I can blame it on this, and I will. I mean, over this summer, my vaccine hits 2 weeks. My second dose of the vaccine hits 2 weeks next Tuesday. So I'm still just a
he
few days away from it.
Living it up, world. Oh, look out.
Going everywhere. I will be everywhere this summer. But when that happens, yeah, I'm going to go to the original Gates. I'm going to go to Arthur Bryant's. I'm going to go to all of these places. But part of the reason why, even during the takeout era, we didn't do that as much is because literally walking distance, less than a half a mile from here, there is a fabulous barbecue place that I love. In fact, we got food from there last night. And it wasn't even because we were going to be talking about this today, but I absolutely love the food down at Blind Box. So there's been no reason for me to drive a half an hour to get something else because, right. Yeah, it's going to be outstanding. But, you know, I've got outstanding. Outstanding's right over there.
So, okay, maybe I should just actually, I'm getting some love on the text line. Who knew? I think there are more of me out there than you think. And when they hear somebody like me say that, they know that there's somebody else like them. And now they're all coming out on the text line and telling me that, oh, I'm in the same group. So keep it coming, people. Okay, we'll take a break here. And then coming up in just a few minutes, we will shift gears as we're doing a lot of today. KC Tech Council is out with a new industry report. There is a lot in it and some really interesting details when it comes to jobs. Our friend Ryan Weber is even going to join us on the very clean studio line that we've got set up to talk more about it. We'll do that coming up next here on KMBZ. Welcome back here on a Thursday afternoon on KMBZ. So the KC Tech Council is out with an industry report that gets into a lot of things that we end up talking about a lot on this show about jobs and representation and education and where the jobs are. And so Ryan Weber, the KC Tech Council, who normally sits here for 4 hours with us from his office, is going to spend some time just talking about the thing that he is truly an expert in, and that is this report. Ryan, thanks for hanging out.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be on and only talk about tech, which is something that we find a way to intertwine whenever I get the chance to guest host, which is always fun. But yeah, exciting opportunity to talk more about the measurables in regards to the tech industry.
Well, great. Well, let's just start from start then and talk about just a general overview of how we're doing, especially as it concerns not only tech, but tech that's going to bring more jobs to town.
Well, there's not necessarily a lot of surprises. I mean, the tech industry was very resilient during a year of uncertainty and crisis. And, you know, certainly the way that we're connecting our society and our schools and, you know, even our families and businesses was all using technology platforms, which made the pandemic period a little more bearable, certainly, than it would have been during the last pandemic. And in Kansas City's tech industry, we actually saw tremendous growth during 2020. In fact, one of the key statistics that we're highlighting in our report is that tech jobs in market, by the way, so tech jobs added by market in 2020, we ranked number 3 in regards to the percentage of tech job growth. And the only two cities that are ahead of us is San Francisco and Austin, Texas. So there's probably people listening there saying, well, I didn't know Kansas City had such a robust tech industry. And that's exactly what we want you to take away from reading this report. There are almost 103,000 workers that make up the jobs included in Kansas City's tech industry. And there's over 4,000 tech employers in our market. And many of them saw tremendous growth over the last year. And it's indicative by the data and the sources that we're portraying here in this report. There's not all, yeah, it's not all shining stars, but that is certainly something that we should celebrate.
Let's talk more about jobs here for a second before we go on to some of the other parts of this this report. We talk tech jobs a lot. Maybe it seems like an obvious question, but tell us what we're talking about, because that's a lot of jobs in a city like ours. So tell us the different, you know, kinds of companies and kinds of jobs that that encompasses.
Well, every company is a tech company or leveraging some technology right now. I just shouldn't say every, but most modern businesses are leveraging technology in some way. But how we quantify that really breaks up into thirds. So that 103,000 number that I mentioned, it really does break down into thirds. There are tech people working at tech companies. So imagine a software developer at a software development company. There are non-tech workers at those companies, and they have roles like marketing or HR or legal or accounting. And they count as part of the total number of tech jobs. And then there are tech workers at non-tech companies like hospitals, banks, maybe firms that don't identify as a tech company, even though the service they're providing is very technical in nature. And it's almost equally in those thirds how Kansas City's tech industry is represented in those total 103,000 workers.
So if we take a look at that first sector, the ones that are just strictly tech jobs, I mean, it's easy for us to pull names out of the hat and look at the two big G's, Garmin and Google, and go, well, they really love us, so we must be doing something right. And you look area wide, and what I wonder about is for those companies that are strictly tech oriented companies with tech oriented jobs, are there any smaller names? Is there a sort of a mom and pop grassroots industry in tech still, or are we beyond that now?
Yeah, you'd be surprised to find out how many of those companies exist in Kansas City, where they provide a critical tech service for a number of industries that are very important to our Kansas City tech sector. That's everything from data centers to fiber connectivity. I mean, being located in the center of the country makes us a leader in some of those certain categories. And there are absolute examples of that. And being those smaller tech providers, that is a big portion of the 4,000 plus employers that exist in Kansas City's tech industry. And I would say that maybe they probably don't have as robust of a marketing team as some other industries do, so you may not hear their names more often, but they play a vital role in supporting the tech services that all of us use every day.
Okay, so let's get into some of the parts of this report that maybe are not going to be put in bold letters because we're super thrilled about it. But talk to me about diversity. You and I have talked about this a lot in the past, about how diverse of a workforce we have when it comes to tech. How diverse is it in Kansas City?
So it's not going to be above average as we compare to the rest of the country, which is also not a great statistic. The tech industry is still dominated by white men, and that is something that has to change. And I think all of our eyes have been open to how important of an issue that is to our society over the last year. And the tech industry can play a critical role because these jobs pay exceptionally well. The median wage for a tech job in Kansas City is about $76,000 a year, which is significantly higher than the median wage of your typical worker in Kansas City. So as far as providing a better economic future for people, that's extremely important. But also, we've got thousands of open jobs and we have a homogenous industry. So what a great opportunity to fill those jobs by looking at a more diverse workforce. It's easier than it sounds. And that was actually something that we're highlighting in this report. There's really three main categories: not only the strength and resiliency of the tech industry, but the fact that we ranked third out of four quartiles with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, we're not sitting back and wondering what we're going to do about this problem. We made an investment late last year and launched a program at the beginning of this year for tech apprenticeships to help navigate the process of learning these skills and getting a job in Kansas City's tech industry, no matter what your background is, of certainly your race, your age, your educational careers, your prior careers. We can help navigate that for you with this apprenticeship program, which is really going to help fill that diversity pipeline. In fact, all the marketing efforts behind that program are targeted on underrepresented communities. And of the 300 or so candidates that have registered, the smallest demographic is white men. And we're incredibly proud that we're able to tap into those communities and actually show that there is a diverse set of workers out there ready for this opportunity if they could navigate their way into it. And that's what we want to do to help. So you can visit the KC Tech Council website if you're listening to this. The program is called Apprentee, and that is something that we are really excited about here in Kansas City. And employers are also excited about that too, because the tech industry is still pretty new. These companies are new, and they have not had the same opportunity to build the relationships with underrepresented communities and the organizations that represent diverse groups to find that pipeline of talent. And that's what problem we want to solve.
Well, there's so much in what you just said, and you got ahead of me a little bit on the resiliency thing, too. That's something we're going to spin around back to in just a couple of minutes. But when you talk about diversity and those thousands of open jobs that are there right now waiting for somebody to fill them, the one thing that we learned, one of the many things that we learned during the pandemic, was how many people saw that and saw job losses and things like that as a fresh start. And when you talk about apprenticeship programs and things like that, if somebody was in an industry that was not a technical or a tech-based industry at all, and yet they're looking for that now. They're saying to themselves, well, look, when I get back, that $70,000 a year, that's really attractive to me. I want to be one of those people, but I don't know my stuff yet. Is there a way for them to edge into that industry from something that wasn't?
Yes, and there is a role for people with every background in the tech industry. And I don't want people to think that a tech job is sitting in front of a computer terminal coding all day. There certainly are those opportunities. I think the people that pursue those opportunities want that kind of a career. But there's way more depth to the amount of different kind of tech occupations that can be available to you. And for many individuals, they're just one skill set away from having that career. And the tech industry is starting to really move behind the idea that you need, or move away from the idea that you need a college degree to work in the industry. What you really need is a skill set. And there are a number of great training providers here locally that can provide that skill set to you in a matter of months. And it takes a lot of work and dedication on your end. But before you go down this path, I would say that the way to be successful in any career really, but also specifically the tech industry, is to dedicate yourself to a lifelong learning process. Because as you probably have noticed, technology changes rapidly. And so constantly educating yourself is important to be relevant. And the most in-demand positions here require the higher skill sets. That's going to be your computer engineering, your software development, and your cybersecurity jobs. But they also pay the best. And with cybersecurity specifically, some of those positions, even at an entry level, start at over six figures. So in many ways, we're talking about teaching yourself to be a surgeon and not just a regular doctor, but there's still a great opportunity with those skill sets.
So the question we get a lot on the show when Ryan is on is, I work in something that has nothing related to tech whatsoever. I think I'd like to get into tech. Can you even make that transition? And we're going to take a break for news. And then coming up, Ryan's going to stay on the air with us. And we're going to be joined by a gentleman named Ian Whitehill, who is in that situation where he worked in something that had nothing to do with tech. He was laid off from his job in the pandemic. Now he's taken his career in a totally different direction, and we'll get that story from him coming up next. News is straight ahead here on back here with you on a Thursday afternoon on KMBZ. And so we were talking about how very often when we are talking about tech, the question that we get, and that we get for Ryan Weber, the KC Tech Council, who's still with us, is, I work in an industry that has nothing to do with technology, but and maybe I'm a little bit later in life, but I'd really like to get into tech. Can I make that transition from this very non-tech thing to this tech thing? And we have someone on the line with us who has done exactly that. It's a really, really interesting story to give you an example of how that can be done. And so we're going to bring him in here with us to chat a bit. Ian Will, why I cannot say names today is beyond me. Ian Whitehill is on the line with us. Ian, thanks a lot for making some time for us. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us a little bit of your story. How did you end up getting into the tech industry, and what were you doing before?
Definitely. So I previously worked for Union Pacific Railroad as a train conductor. And then they started kind of moving a little bit of their business away from Kansas City, and then COVID obviously hit. The tech world was something I was always really interested in, but just never knew how to really kind of get any traction and get my start in that area. So, yeah, that's what Apprenti and the KC Tech Council kind of helped me get that started and getting it going now. So,
okay, so I know the pandemic had something to do with some of your path here. Can you take us through some of that?
The railroad was, it was a union job, so it's seniority level, obviously, with, transportation shutting down and stuff like that, supply chain shutting down, they didn't need as many. So I was furloughed from there, and then kind of got the opportunity to pursue a new career path, as a developer, writing code, that, something, I always kind of been interested in, but it Didn't know if I could do it. Turns out I can't.
Yeah, and that's a great sort of path to go down, something that you already had an affinity for. Had you done any of it? I mean, did you sit at home and, you know, and play with simple programming and simple languages and things like that? Or had you had no experience with it at all? You just kind of liked the idea of it?
So, yeah, I mean, I had tried to, like, start and learn on my own. And I just felt that, you know, really overwhelming. And then just to try and, like, do it on my own to make it a career seemed, you know, almost impossible when I tried on my own, you know. And then, yeah, this program helped me. You know, they sponsored me through a boot camp. You know, I found an employer that I'm working with. So, yeah, it was a really great experience.
I actually want to hear more about that transition from, and maybe just mentally for you, from going from something like the railroad that to me is a prime example of something that doesn't have a lot to do with tech, to making a complete turn into something that you previously didn't have a lot of experience in, and more of the if that was really difficult.
So it was a little bit, but, you know, I had a lot of support and a lot of kind of the same critical thinking skills that go into working with, like, large equipment, like trains, obviously. And then even from, I was in the military for a while, and you develop those critical thinking skills, and that really applies to technology and kind of like that mentality of, you know, adapting and overcoming and solving these problems in a kind of methodical way is really how code is written. And, you know, that mindset works really well with technology.
You know, it's Ryan, I really appreciate you mentioning that because, you know, in many ways, these jobs are really solving problems, just using technology to do that and developing that skill set to understand what kind of technology, or in your case, you know, the code really is how you're solving these problems and building products and solutions for the company that you're working for. And you also chose you found a local training provider. And one thing we talked about yesterday was that, you know, when you first start those training programs, it can be a little overwhelming, right? But you found that there is a lot of support for those who are pursuing this skill development. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I went to Centric Training and, you know, learned the C# full stack there. And yeah, at first it was extremely kind of daunting walking in, you know, trying it on my own, having kind of failed, and then going in here, not really knowing what to expect. At Centric, but the staff was great. The instructors were great. They were very supportive, very helpful. And, you know, they really helped me, you know, understand the code and, like, how to apply it to kind of my mindset to make it all work. But, yeah, and I mean, they were supportive in every aspect of, you know, working with the VA even, you know, and just like helping me life balance a little bit of how much time I need to study, how much time I need to be in class, and things like that.
What did you see yourself doing? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say the timeline is important here too, because it's not like you've been going back to school for several years, getting a degree in this. What is the time frame from when you started doing the training program to when you're going to graduate and even start now soon, you're on the job training?
Yes. Yeah, not very long at all. So I'm trying to remember exact dates, but it was about a month or two ago. You know, we started talking about it.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it accelerated really quickly. And now I think beginning or middle of August is my start date when I'm kind of done with training and go to do my on-the-job training. Yeah.
And that's an apprenticeship program, folks. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here, where you make the decision that you want to do this, and within several months after you start that training process, just takes a couple of months. And with our program, that's essentially what we're going to be helping to guarantee folks is a job as soon as you're graduating from that training program, immediately applying that classroom knowledge in an actual, real, full-time tech position.
That's just, it's lightning fast. And Ian, I would love to know, I mean, when you decided to make this jump in the first place, what did you see your office looking like? I mean, what kind of work did you envision yourself doing? And do you think that that's going to match up pretty well with what you end up doing for a living from here on out?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the company, so I've always wanted to, you know, do something in the tech world that I felt was very meaningful and impactful, like in everybody's everyday life, you know, because technology is so big now and impacts everyone. So, yeah, the company I ended up accepting an offer from was Genuine, and they write code to help with machines for healthcare, national defense, aerospace, and those kind of critical infrastructure things as well. So, yeah, I mean, that was really appealing to me to be able to know that you know, every day I'll be going and, you know, working to improve, you know, the world around me.
I want to know what advice you have for people who have been in the position that you were in terms of, you know, going for it and the process and where you looked and the approach that you took.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, Apprenti was really appealing to me because, you know, I had done an apprenticeship with the railroad. That's kind of how they start you out. It's very similar. You go to school, you start, you know, immediately working in the field. You kind of have a mentor that you're assigned, and then after about a year or two, you're out on your own working. So when I saw that availability in the tech world, I kind of jumped at it. And, you know, I think anybody from my position who's ever had like a union job or a craftsman blue-collar type job is familiar with kind of that pattern of learning. And, yeah, it's just motivating yourself to get out there and apply for it. And, you know, it is successful.
So obviously there are going to be challenges anytime you make that kind of a transition from one job to another. But for people who are listening right now and listening to your message, and even after they hear you talk about this, they're thinking, yeah, that's great for him, but I couldn't do that. What would your message be to them?
Yeah, I mean, you can't. You know, like I said, I tried on my own, and it didn't, you know, it was hard and it was confusing, and I couldn't, you know, make heads or tails of it. And then trying to get it figured out to possibly do it as a career seemed like a daunting task that was, you know, unaccomplishable. But yeah, through this program it is. And, you know, they help you manage all of that and, you know, kind of step by step, here's the progression you take. Yeah, and it's very quick as well, so.
All right. Well, Ian Whitehill, it's been really great to hear your story. I think other people are enjoying hearing your story as well and probably being inspired by that. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it, getting to know you better.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
You got it. Take care.
Thanks a bunch. All right, we'll take a break here. I want to put out the 913-576-7798 is the text line number. If anybody has questions based on that story or based on tech stuff, you usually do. Ryan's got a few more minutes, can stick around till 1 o'clock, so we'll get to your questions here coming up next on KMBZ. You've heard me bragging about corner. All right, a few more minutes to spend here with Ryan Weber, who is president of the Casey Tech Council. I told you names today. I can do anything but names today. I don't know why. So the industry report is out, and we were going through the first couple of segments of it. Earlier in the show, we've got one more segment of it that we want to talk about. And appropriately, the segment we didn't cover is kind of where the industry is going next. And it's been an interesting time, given that, you know, the shift toward remote work, because it had to, and we learned a lot. So we'll just kind of give Ryan the floor here for a couple of minutes and give us some ideas of where things are going as we move forward here.
Well, thanks again for the opportunity to talk about this, because this is a way for us to celebrate some victories of the tech industry, including the resiliency that we experienced in 2020, acknowledging the fact that we have to have a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive industry in order to fill the gap in the amount of jobs that are open and the amount of candidates who can pursue those jobs. But then we also got to talk about what's going to happen after this pandemic. There have been several historical events in the tech industry that have defined it. We can think back to the dot-com bubble bursting back in early 2000. Also, we can talk about what happened after the last recession, which was a ton of growth in the tech sector. So I would imagine looking at this event that we're currently living through, that the outcomes are going to be much more like the latter, much more like what happened after the Great Recession with extreme growth. But what's going to be different now versus then are where workers want to work and how they want to work. And that's some of the questions that we try to answer inside of our report so that everyone understands that things are changing and we have to change with them in order for our tech industry to continue to stay at the level that we're at, but also to continue to get closer and closer to that, you know, number one or number two place someday, hopefully. But, you know, the interesting question about where workers plan to work or how they want to work, you know, over half, of course, want a more flexible and hybrid option. And I don't think that's going to go anywhere. You know, and there's a lot of good questions that came up when we released the report yesterday about how is this going to impact commercial real estate? And I don't know. I do believe that there's still going to need to be an office, but those offices are going to change. Those are going to be more like meeting centers and not office centers where you spend your life in a cubicle or in an office. And I just don't think that's going to be the same moving forward.
We all try to look for trends. We all try to make those kinds of predictions. You're absolutely right. And one of the things that I saw this morning was that of all places, Best Buy just adjusted their quarterly earnings up for this quarter, which means that the slowdown that we all thought, you know, as people start to go back to the office, they're not going to buy as much stuff. They're not going to need as much stuff for the home office. The tech boom of 2020, the little boomlet of last year, will start to slow down by now. Apparently not.
Yeah, it reminds me of the famous quote where, you know, there's so many tech stocks that just exploded last year, and the stock market is not the economy. Folks, it is not the economy. you know, but also you got to think about, like, where they're moving to. Where do those people want to live and work? And, you know, we know that Kansas City has such an incredible strength in our livability. But when we look at some of the reports specifically from key sources like Indeed.com, and, you know, there's where people want to work geographically, but there's also things that are really important to them. And one of the most important, almost 69% of response to the survey said that improve their quality of life was a big factor in where they locate. But also they wanted to reduce their cost of living. The majority of America's tech industry is on the coasts. And so those are some of the highest cost centers to live. And then the third category is they want to be closer to family. So you look at Kansas City's strengths and our ability to improve their quality of life, reduce their cost, we excel at those things. So we need to make sure that Kansas City is positioning ourselves on that national stage from a perception standpoint as a location for your tech career, because there is a breadth of opportunities and employers here, but also considering you've got this hybrid option where you may be bringing a family with you somewhere where we can plug them into the industry or other industries here in Kansas City. So all those things play a factor. And I know there's been a lot of listicles out there about where people are moving and this great migration underway in America.
Sure.
Time will tell. I don't think we can look at where people moved in 2020 to where they're going to locate for their careers.
We are getting a lot of questions on the text line for you. 913-576-7798. We've only got like five more minutes and we're moving on because we've got another guest after 1 o'clock. But I want to try to hit a few of these, maybe rapid fire a little bit. But somebody asked a really good question. Is there some sort of quiz or test that will determine what part of technology someone would be better suited for than another?
There are some out there. I would be hesitant to encourage you to use those. It's kind of like even those tests you took maybe in high school to decide what you're, you know, what you would be best at yeah. someday. Gosh, if you followed that advice, I think we would all be in very different places. Mm-hmm. So I would be reticent to say, go to this site, take this quiz online, and it'll tell you exactly where to go. You know, in many ways, we're just talking about adding a skill set that's a foundation for you to build upon. Because after you complete that exam and you, or even our qualifications exam, is really more about employability than tech skills. So as long as you get 80% or higher, you're qualified for our program. And when you interview with employers, they don't even get to see your name. They just see that test score. And that helps reduce bias, which we know has a big impact. Anyone that's applied for a job online knows just how much bias plays into that decision making.
Another one that came in that I thought is just relevant to everybody's situation, especially if you're still working at this point. And somebody said, hey, this sounds great, and I would love to do something like that, but I've got to eat. And how do I continue to feed myself while I'm going through a training program to switch careers like that? Can this be done while you still have another job?
Yeah, and we've identified several funding sources to make that a hurdle that no one has to jump over. And specifically, if you live in KCMO, there is an opportunity to get full funding for that training, as well as some subsidies to keep you getting some income while you're going through those trainings that can be from anywhere from 1 to 3 months. So yes, I don't want that to be a hurdle for anyone to make that jump. Because I understand, I mean, it's difficult to quit your job, you know, lose your pay, maybe even your health benefits to try this. And that makes the risk factor go up. So we want to minimize that as much as possible.
So here's another question that we got that I think is applicable to a lot of the audience. Someone said, I don't have a clue of what to tell my son, he's 23, where he should start or who to contact to start the process. We're getting a few questions like that about where to begin. And I can see how people would think it's kind of overwhelming. Where should people start?
First of all, I'm a resource. I'm literally paid to talk to you about these things. So whenever someone reaches out with these questions, I make time to answer them. So I am easily found online, folks. Ryan Weber, you can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, but go to our website as well, kctechcouncil.com, and go ahead and register for Apprenti, where you can put your information, you can take that qualifications exam, and there's a whole team. It's a national program. It's not just in Kansas City. And there's a whole team there ready to help answer these questions, because we can absolutely navigate this. And that's the point. We know it's daunting if you were to do this on your own. Ian, in the last segment, talked about how he tried to learn on his own, and it was overwhelming. Don't let this be overwhelming. There is a lot of resources, including us, who are willing to help answer your questions and navigate you through this entire process.
And if somebody just wants to make that cold call to the KC Tech Council and just talk to somebody, I'm sure those resources are there as well. What's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, of course, you can go to our website. There's tons of information on there on how to contact us and find us. And we will get back to you in a very short amount of time. Understand that we're still hybrid as well. But we do make an effort, an extreme effort, to answer every single one of those questions, because this is so important for our industry and it's an active role that we play.
So again, start with the KC Tech Council website. That's got all the contact information. Start with your questions there. And Ryan's always really available for us too, so we appreciate it. Thanks for spending a good part of the midday. I know you had a lot going on today, and it's been a big week for you, so thanks for making the time.
It is always a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, good to have all three of all us together for once. Very good talking to you.
I know. All right, we'll take a break here, and then we're going to shift gears coming up after 1 o'clock and go back to talking about the shift in money in Kansas City when it comes to police. There has been a suggestion that a special session be called amongst the Missouri legislature to talk about it. We'll have Representative Doug Ritchie on with us coming up next here on KMBZ.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.